We're starting a new session this morning. As some of you know, I became a believer in Jesus Christ in 1972, reading a book called The Late Great Planet Earth. And I was amazed at that book because it said that much of what was going on in the world, God actually had a plan and a program. And that I saw Him not only as the Savior of the world, but as my Savior. And I put my trust in Him, and as a result, I have had a passion for prophecy for 42 years. And Roger Carson asked that I consider doing a subject on prophecy, simply on fulfilled prophecy, and we're going to do that starting today. I don't know how long it'll last. You know how it goes in here. We quit somewhat on time most of the time, because if I don't, you complain. But we're going to look into prophecy. We're going to look into what it is. This morning we're going to focus on who's behind it and why we know that it's so important. It is, in my view, the greatest evidence for the Bible itself and ultimately for God Himself. They say you cannot prove who God is, but there has to be somebody who could see the past and the future all at once and have people write it down perfectly so that it actually became fulfilled purposely and under His exact direction. The only answer to that is that there is a God. Now, excuse me, things are not working this way. Question, what happened? We have visitors this morning. Please tell them it's not always like this. Hey. Nothing's working. Let's pray and go home. That should be it. There it goes. All right. Exciting start, huh? Now my clicker's not working. Who is the best person in the universe to know the future? Good answer. God Almighty is the only person qualified to predict the future. What do we want to know most about God in our adversity? Have you ever thought about that? When you're having a problem in your life, what are the things you want to know most about God in that adversity? Three things. He knows, right? He cares. What's the final one? He can do something about it, Dave. Exactly. He is in control. He is in control. Having problems. How do we know these things about God? The Bible tells us about God, His nature, His character, and His person, doesn't it? So the question is what? Can you trust what the Bible says about God? And I'm going to, the contention of this whole session is that the best evidence that the Bible is true is predictive prophecy that has been fulfilled. You with me? In other words, if God is able to predict things that are going to happen, that means what? then he must exist and he must be who he says he is. And he's trustworthy. He knows. He knows who we are. He knows what is going on in our life at all times. Do you believe that? He knows our destiny. He knows ultimately how this is going to work out. He knows the purpose of our circumstances. And he knows all because he is omniscient. What does omniscient mean? He knows everything. Things actual, and did you know he actually knows things possible, effortlessly, and equally well. Psalm 139 is the best psalm in the scripture for talking about the omniscience, the omnipresence, and the omnipotence of God. And they're actually in 3 6-verse stanzas. And so the first one says, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know me, you know when I sit down and when I rise up. You understand my thoughts from afar. You scrutinize my path and my lying down and are intimately acquainted with all my ways. Even before there's a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all. Isn't that interesting? Even before you say it, he knows what you're going to say. That's scary, isn't it? You have enclosed me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too high. I cannot attain to it. God is omniscient. Jesus is omniscient. Did you know that? He said, if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. What did he mean by that? Jesus said, if the people in Tyre and Sidon long time ago, hundreds of years ago, had seen what I did in Tyre and Sidon, they would have what? Repented. Now, how could he do that? He'd have to be omniscient because he'd have to know not only every person that lived back in that time, but also the fact that had they seen certain things, they would have repented and done something different. That's absolutely amazing, isn't it? Think about that, because some people like to claim that Jesus is not God, and that's foolish. He knew exactly what they would do. I love this one. It says, God telleth the number of stars. He called them all by their names. Is that a big deal? How big a deal is it? You know I'm an accountant. I'm going to tell you how big a deal it is. Because I've counted them. Well, at least I looked it up on the internet. How many stars are there? Now, I want you to think in terms. God not only can count them, but he can also tell you what? The name of each one. My favorite's Beetlejuice, or whatever that was. The one we studied when we watched that movie a few months back. All right? So, how many stars are there? Well, it's been said that counting the stars in the universe is like trying to count the number of sand grains on a beach on Earth. We might do that by measuring the surface area of a beach and determining the average depth of the sand layer. So you cut you out a square, right? And you count the grain of sands down so far till you hit dirt. And that would tell you how much is in the square, and then you'd have to know what? How big the beach was, so you could extrapolate that into a number. Number two. Well, if we count the number of grains in a small representative volume and multiply it, we can estimate the number. That's what I just told you. Three, for the universe, the galaxies are small representations of volumes, and there's something like 10 to the 11th power times to 10 to the 12th power stars in our galaxy. Is that a big number? A lot of zeros. And there are perhaps, this is even more staggering, perhaps there are 10 to the 11th or 10 to the 12th power of galaxies. As far as we can see, right? So, with this simple calculation, for some of you it's not simple, you get something like 10 to the 22nd to 10 to the 24th stars in the universe. This is only a rough number. Guess what? Yeah. as obviously not all galaxies are the same, but just like on a beach, the depth of the sand won't be the same in all places. And that comes from our activities in the space science Herschel, whatever that is. Now, how many stars are there then? 10 to the 12th power is 1 trillion stars. So the claim here is that there's a trillion stars in our galaxy. Is that a big number? Not big compared to our federal budget. But I would suspect that most of you can't even comprehend how big that number is. I remember I was investigated a crime for $15 million embezzlement. It took 3,500 hours to figure out where all the money went and what happened. And to count all that money, $15 million. This is $1 trillion. This is a multiple of it. If you have a number of galaxies, you also have 1 to the 12th is a trillion galaxies. So if you put them together, what do you have? 10 to the 24th power stars. How big a number is that? I can say that. What is it? Oh. All right, so you have hundreds, thousands, millions, billions, trillions, quadrillions, quintillions, sextillions, one septillion stars. The God that you worship has a name for all of them. Would that be intelligent? Absolutely. Absolutely. He has named each one. Prophecy is proof of the Bible. If an omniscient God exists who knows the future, then predictive prophecy is possible. In other words, if you have a God who knows everything, and he not only knows the past and the present and the future all at the same time, then you have the potential that somebody could actually predict the future. You with me? And if the Bible contains such predictions, then they are signs of the Bible's divine origin. And this guy gives you three earmarks. This is by Norm Geisler. Three earmarks of supernatural predictions. One, it is more than a vague guess or conjecture. There's been somebody in history who was great at vague conjectures. Do you know who it is? The most famous prophet of all time. Nostradamus. Damas. Do you know his prophecies are so vague, you have no idea what he's talking about. When we're going to look at the biblical prophecies, we're going to look at prophecies that are fulfilled literally to the very nth degree. In fact, coming up in the next week, 2-3 weeks, I'm going to show you a prophecy in Daniel chapter 9 that predicts the very day that Jesus Christ would walk or would ride into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, called the Prophecy of the 70 Weeks. And it is an extraordinary prophecy, not only in the fact that it predicts the very day that Jesus would ride into Jerusalem, but it also predicts the meaning of all the events that will happen after that time. It's an incredible thing. The second thing is that it deals with human contingencies that are normally unpredictable. In other words, you're God and you know all of the human beings that have ever lived. How could you project that all the things that those human beings did will culminate in a certain thing at a certain point in time? How do you know what you're going to be doing tomorrow? Now, many of you do, but I mean, it's because of the day off, right? But the reality is that our Lord knows all the things that goes together. Leslie and I were coming to church this morning. We were listening to Sirius Radio on a very spiritual channel called 50s on 5. Listen to the 50s music. There was a song on and said, "You must have been a beautiful baby because look at you now." Right? And I said to Leslie, things are different today, are they not? Have you ever read the words of some of the music that's out there today? And the vulgarity and the crassness and the profanity that are in those songs? And somebody in the other class, the first class I gave this analogy, said, "Well, we're always getting worse." Do you think that's true? Absolutely. Are we going downhill? Absolutely. Did God know that? Absolutely. He, for some reason, has excellent ability to see that. I was going to look and see if I could find something real quick here. Well, I don't know if I can find it quickly. Let me go on. The third thing is, it is a highly unusual event, not normally expected. Not normally expected. So three things about prophecy. Secondly, he cares. What does he care about? I love those who love me, and those who diligently seek will find me. Isaiah 43, since you are precious in my sight, since you are honored and I love you. Amazing, huh? You ever think about the fact that God actually cares about you? Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that He may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. That's a meaningful verse for me. In other words, when you're suffering from immense worry, He says that if you'll just give that worry to Him, He will take care of it because He cares about you. He cares. 1 John 4 says, we've come to know and believe the love which God has for us. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. 1 John 4:8, the one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. If he loves us, he would tell us what is in the future for us. Do you believe that's true? Absolutely. If he truly cares for us, then he would tell us what is coming down the road. In other words, he is omnipresent. What does that mean? He's everywhere. There used to be a song like that. He's everywhere. And some ramifications according to Charles Ryrie. No person can escape the presence of God. This warns unbelievers and comforts believers because God is omnipresent, can practice the experience of his presence in every circumstance of their life. So we have a God who knows everything and a God who is in every place. And there is a verse in 139, 7 to 12. The next six verses says, where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you're there. If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there your hand will lead me. And your right hand will lay hold of me. If I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me, and the light around me will be night. Even the darkness is not dark to you, and the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are alike to you. In other words, it's comforting to me as a believer, and a little bit scary, that God is everywhere. He hears everything you do. He knows your thoughts even before you think them. He cares for you. Jeremiah 39:29 says, I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, and plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. The mind of the man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Isn't that interesting? We think we're planning as believers the way we're going to go, but it says God is what? He's actually directing our steps. And Romans 8, one of my favorite verses, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. So, He knows about you. He cares about you. What has He told us in His prophecies? There's more than we can ever imagine about what He has said about us and our ultimate destiny. Our destiny with Him. Our inheritance with Him. Our rewards for what we've done, the end of our suffering, the future of the world, and the future of His coming kingdom, all He's told us about, plus many more things. Eyes shall not have not seen, ears have not heard the things that are in store for those who love Him. Most of the Scripture, by the way, is prophetic when it was written. Did you know that? Because it's revelation about a future or a prophecy, even all the way back to Genesis 3, when it talked about the seed of the woman who would crush Satan's head and deliver us, the first evangelistic message in the Bible. He's in control. Oh, I like this one. Would you like to know that He can control your circumstances? Absolutely. Would that make a difference? He can control the future. Do you believe that? He is in total control. He is in absolute total control. So when you're thinking about it, if He knows everything, if He really cares about you and wants the best for you, and He's in control and He can impact your life, is that a good thing to know? Absolutely. Psalm 139, the next six verses. Actually, I'm only going to cover about three, four. For You formed my inward parts, You wove me in my mother's womb. Would that be contrary to what they say today in our society? Absolutely. That would tell you what? That a person is a person when they are what? Conceived. Because God had an active part in weaving you together. And He says, I will give thanks to You, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. There's actually a book written about that that tells about the incredible thing that God did in forming us. Just the human eye is so complex, it's unbelievable. Wonderful are Your works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from You, and when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth, Your eyes have seen all of my unformed substance. And in Your book, listen, were all written the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. Did you know that God knows exactly in His book the day you're going to die? How you're going to die? So if we know He knows that, what difference does that make? We can trust in Him, right? That nothing's going to happen to you until what time? The day He has ordained for your death. He is, in fact, omnipotent. He can do anything, definition, consistent with His nature because He has absolute power. He spoke the, I know this is unpopular, but He spoke the universe into existence in how many days? 6 days. As I contemplate that, it is beyond comprehension that the complexity of this universe and of His creation is so staggering. The science is still trying to figure it out. And He just said, let there be light. Or let there be animals. Or let there be plants. And He didn't even take 6 days to do that. He did it in how long? One day. And as long as it takes Him to speak. And all this beauty and the complexity that we have came about because He did that. He controls the world and its destiny. If you've been in here in the study of Daniel, the study of Revelation, you know that God is in absolute control of what's going to happen in the future, don't you? He knows what's coming. He even has it planned. The ultimate plan is to bring sinful mankind to a place where He can render judgment on it and bring in His ultimate kingdom of 1,000 years and then 10,000 years. He's in control of your destiny. Do you know that? So many of us worry about where we're going and where God wants us to go, and yet He knows. Remember, we plan it, He directs it. There are 332 prophecies concerning Jesus Christ in the Scripture. Now, I'm not sure they got them all. I'll just take this at face. 109 of them were fulfilled in His first coming. What would be the odds of having 109 specific prophecies fulfilled in one person? Can't calculate. It's infinite. Let me give you another stat. 25, and we'll study these, specific prophecies concerning our Jesus' death, resurrection, and burial were fulfilled in 24 hours. Uttered between 1,000 and 500 B.C., the chances that all 25 would be fulfilled in one is 1 in 33,554,000. Quick calculation shows that makes that they're given the chances for each individual prophecy of being 50. Okay. I think it's very generous for the scale. All right, so it should be higher?
Yeah, I'd say 1 in 10, 1 in 4, maybe, so it should be
several billion. Bigger than more stars. Good, thank you. Well, you're quick, Tom. Huh?
I'd add on to that. If you look at some of the stuff that Nostradamus, a secular prophetic
And we are going to look at his stuff. Wow. So you got that times 109 times whatever, all in one person. But if you put them all in one person in one day, because all these 25 happened in one day. Things like he was buried with the rich man's tomb, they cast lots for his garments, he was crucified. All of these prophecies that happened in one day, the odds can't even be calculated. Can't even be calculated. He is in control. Prophecy tells us he has a plan. His plan is detailed and understandable, right? His plan is certain based on the complete and perfect fulfillment of past prophecies, and his plan will happen just as predicted. His plan will happen just when he wants it to. I believe that God's under careful control, and when we look back, we'll see in the Bible somewhere he gave us a hint as to when it was going to happen. I'm going to stop here today, but before you get up and leave, which you normally do already, I wanted to announce that Steve Collins, Steve, stand up here, won the Fred Hartman Excellence in Sports Writing in Texas for the Alvin Sun. He was deemed to be the best sports writer in Texas. Terrific. And he got it all. I know he'll write an article from being in this class for several years. I apologize for running over 3 or 4 minutes and going quickly. I'll get my clicker fixed next week. We'll see you. Thanks.